In 1519, Hernan Cortes made a decision that would echo through history. Upon landing on the shores of the New World, he faced impossible odds. Outnumbered and surrounded by uncertainty, he gave an audacious order: burn the ships. With no way to retreat, his men had one choice: fight to succeed or die trying. And they did succeed. Cortez's story isn't just about conquest, it's about commitment. It's about making bold decisions, eliminating excuses, and going all in on your vision. Welcome to Burning the Ships, the podcast where we explore what it means to take risks, push boundaries, and refuse to look back. I'm Jason Seward, your host. In each episode, we'll share stories, strategies, and insights to help you tackle your challenges head on, overcome obstacles, and make your own history. This is Burning the Ships. Let's get started. Welcome to Burning the Ships Weekly Ramble, and I'm your host, Jason Seward. And before we get started, I'm going to hit y'all with JJ's Joke of the Week. So this week, this is one that he's been saying for a while, so this isn't anything new to me, but it is a pretty cute joke. What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. That's JJ's Joke of the Week. So we will this week, I'm going to be diving into all things health and nutrition from my perspective. Okay, so I feel like I have to preface all this with a few obvious things. But number one, I am not an expert. I am not trained in any way, shape, or form in this area, right? So these are all opinions. Opinions that I'm not married to, by the way. They're evolving opinions, and I have had varying opinions over the years on this topic and things around it. But I'm just going to kind of share my perspectives from a mindset standpoint, the shifts I've had throughout my adult life, my perspectives on a lot of things. And then I'm going to dial into I want to talk to more of the average person, right? So when I say that, I'm eliminating folks that have, and when I say average, I'm talking about average physical capabilities, right? So by that, I mean a normal person that can get up, get out of bed, they can walk, they can do pretty basic physical things day to day, regardless of where they're at from a health standpoint, but they can do these things. They can tie their shoes, they can eat a meal, they don't have any disease that is or disabilities that's preventing them from doing average daily activities, right? So that's your average person. I realize and very aware that there are people that have hindrances on their physical capabilities that don't allow them to do certain things. And I'm not really speaking about those people or to those people. I also realize that there are elite athletes, right, that they're it might be their business or their job or whatever the case may be, requires them to be kind of like 1% of the 1%. So they have to be in tip-top shape all the time, ready to perform for whatever that is. So I'm kind of eliminating those people too. And I want to talk about the regular people that get up every day, they go to work or run their business, they have a family, they have a lot of distractions and things like that. And that's kind of where I'm going to keep things today. So when I think, when I'm talking health and nutrition, is two things, and I'm going to keep it to two things today, and that is, number one, fitness, like physical fitness, and number two, nutrition, the food that you put in your body, the food and drinks and calories that you put in your body, those two things. And I'll throw a few things in, kind of like what I do as far as any supplements and stuff like that, vitamins and things like that, which I don't take a ton of, but I'll kind of cover those too. So, I'll go back into my 20s and early 30s, where none of this was even on my radar. Did not care at all about trying to optimize my health, my longevity, things like that. Because I had the mindset, like many folks in their 20s and, you know, into their 30s, this mindset of, man, I've spent my whole life eating what I want. feel healthy. I'm moving fine. I'm getting plenty of sleep. I feel great, whatever. And I had that mindset. Well, what ends up happening with that mindset for me and a lot of others that, I'm close to or I observe is things start compounding, right? If you have bad habits from when you were a child, and a teenager and in college, and those habits, the bad habits around fitness and nutrition and stuff like that, habits are habits, right? They are habits for, they habits are there because there's something you've done over time without thinking about it, right? So now it's a point where you just wake up and eat whatever you want because you're hungry. You don't care about the protein quantity in it, or you don't care about whether it's a whole food or a processed food. You're not thinking that way because you have a habit of just grabbing, eating whatever, and then you look in the mirror and nothing's changing, right? That's a lot of people in their 20s. Get into the 30s, things start changing. Well, I was just that, right? But the compounding of that is, let's go back. When I graduated high school, I was 135 pounds. So 5'9", 5'10" with shoes on, but 5'9", 135 pounds, skin and absolute bones, no meat on me, no fat on me, nothing. So now where I sit at probably the healthiest I can be, I'm at about 170 pounds, right? So I was 35 pounds less graduating high school than what I am now. Now, that's years since of me, a lot, I got up to almost 200 pounds at one point, and that was about as unhealthy as I could be. But that happened through this settling and complacency and this compounding of thinking that there was no issue with the way I was doing things. And here's what happens. It happens to a lot of people. Let's go to 25 years old. Let's say at 25, and by that point, I was probably 165, 170 pounds. But let's say this year, I do everything I was doing, unhealthy, not really working out, doing my job, and I gained 3 pounds this year. So January 1st last year, I might have been 165. This year, I'm 168. Not a big deal, right? Drop in the bucket. Next year, I'm 172. And the next year, I might be 175. Then the next year, 180. And this is what happened with me. Every year, a few more pounds were adding on, not because like I wasn't doing anything to stop it. I was just doing my normal habits, right? And over time, compounded, next thing I know, I'm up close to 200 pounds. And it legitimately, I never weighed myself throughout this whole period of my life, right? We didn't have a scale in the house. I had no, literally, other than going to a doctor and really not paying attention to it, I had no idea how much I weighed. Never knew it. To me, I'm seeing the same person in the mirror every day, and that's what it was. So I saw a picture of myself at the beach. Sad that it took this for me to realize I'm 30 pounds, 35, 40 pounds overweight. But I saw a picture of myself, and I just looked terrible. Like I could see it in that picture. I was the same person I see in the mirror every day. Was not that person I saw in the picture. So it took that for me to go, whoa. Well, what was probably more impactful about that picture than the actual how I looked from a weight standpoint, because I'd let it compound to the point I made earlier, was the fact that that particular picture, and it's just a candid shot. I think I was playing cornhole, but off to the side of the picture, my daughter's standing there. And at the time, at this point of this picture, I was probably 33, so she was probably 3 years old. So we're probably at 2014, 2015 time frame. When I saw what I looked like, I saw a dad that was not setting a good example for that little 3-year-old standing there. I saw a dad that was on a path of next year being over 200 pounds, and then the next year probably 210, all the way up to 240, 250, and then I was just going to be obese for the rest of my life. That's what I saw. And I also saw, not again, th this is by seeing a picture. These are all the things that ran through my head. I also saw a dad that wasn't going to be around as long as he possibly could be. I saw a dad that, by the time if he didn't change it, I saw a dad that was going to probably struggle with heart disease, like my father and my grandfather both died of heart attacks. I saw a dad that was on a path of diabetes and all the bad things that come with that. And ultimately a dad that was going to probably not be here well into his 70s, 80s, 90s, right? I was going to take time away from that little girl in that picture by the choices I was making and the choices I was not making at that time. So that was very impactful, and that was the moment that I got my mess together. Now it's been a roller coaster since, right? I'll do well, but it was the moment I'll do well, and then I won't, and then I will, and then I won't. And here in the last 5 years, I've been rock solid. Like there hadn't really been any bumps in the road, but it took a while to get there. But that moment of seeing that picture was the thing that it took that to make me be aware of what I was doing, right? To start thinking about my daily decisions and what I'm putting in my mouth and what I'm doing with my activities and stuff like that. Because up to that point, my entire like career with what I was doing, I was probably about 8 years into that career at that point with Farm Bureau. I went from being probably the most active person you'll ever meet. And when I say active, I'm not talking about like from an athletic standpoint. I'm talking about I can't stop moving, right? My whole childhood into my high school, into my college, and then right after, I didn't stop moving. I can't sit down. I can't sit down to watch a movie. I stand up to eat most of the time. Like I just can't sit still. I've always been that way. When I started working in my corporate career, I went from that to now literally on my butt 75% of the time. So you take that and really reduce my active lifestyle. I flipped it. I might have sat down 25% of the day, and then I went, I was active 75%. Now I'm 75% on my butt, 25% active. When I say active, it's walking from the office to the truck or walking from the couch to the kitchen, walking up the stairs to put the kids to bed. That's active back then. So I go to that and that type of lifestyle for a number of years, and things just got out of control, right? Never thought about anything. And I didn't even notice I'm getting out of control until, again, I swear to God, I saw that picture and that was the thing. And so I knew I had to change something. I didn't know. I had never researched, like proper nutrition and I've learned a lot more since then, now that I've kind of dug into it. But I knew I had to come up with a plan to just overall get healthy. So first thing I looked at, and I encourage everybody to do this now, like I wouldn't change the way I looked at it back then, but I looked at like what I kind of assessed what my weekly eating habits looked like, right? And I tried to identify things that I could take out of that or significantly reduce that were just a couple small levers I could pull to really make a big impact on, number one, my calorie intake, right? Because I never had tracked calories up to this point. So I'll kind of walk you through, and this is based off my memory, we're over 10 years ago now that I started doing this. But at the time, I had a couple consistent things in my daily routine. Number one, I would always eat like a big carb-heavy breakfast, right? So whether that be a lot of times it was stopping at a local convenience store, grabbing a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, right? So it's got egg, it's got bacon, but it's on white bread, biscuit bread. Or I would eat a stack of pancakes, or I would eat cereal some mornings. Just things that were not very healthy, highly processed, not good for me. So that was number one. I was like, man, I don't have to stop eating breakfast, but I can replace all that mess. Breakfast is not an important meal for me. It never has been. I like breakfast, but it's not one that, like, if I don't have it, my mood is going to be impacted. So I changed that, and I got really consistent with some, pretty standard breakfast foods. I would boil eggs ahead of time, and I'd eat a couple boiled eggs or maybe just fry some eggs in the morning. But eat some eggs, get some yogurt, get some oatmeal, stuff like that. I just started doing more healthier options for breakfast. Eventually, that evolved to I started intermittent fasting, which that's a whole different conversation where I wasn't eating breakfast at all. So I wouldn't start eating till noon. But again, that was one area that I could cut out and really reduce calories. Number two, most days I would drink a soda with not for dinner, but with my lunch. So I, at that time, I was on the road a lot for work. So I, most days I wasn't, I was never packing a lunch, but most days I was grabbing fast food, which was terrible, or a sub and some French fries, stuff like that. But I was always getting a Pepsi or a Mountain Dew or something like that, which to this day, I love those drinks, but I'm aware now of how bad they are. So the second thing I did was I said, all right, I'm gonna try to cut down on like how I'm eating during the day. So start prepping meals ahead of time, packing a healthier lunch. And I did decent with that. But the big thing was I cold turkey eliminated all sodas and I went to just drinking water and black coffee. That was the other thing. I was at that time I was putting a lot of stuff in my coffee. I went to black coffee at the same time. So eliminated or cut down on my calories at breakfast. Now we are eliminating soda and I cut out the cream and sugar that I was putting in my coffee, right? So those three things alone, eliminating that, man, that's reducing my sugar intake, my calorie intake quite a bit. Here's a big one. And I laugh about it now, but it was so, this is just one thing I did for years and years and years back to when I was in high school. Every single night, I had, oh, that was the other thing. I drank a lot of milk. So I would go through about 1.5 gallons, probably 2 gallons a week of milk, whole milk. I would drink the heck out of it. I'd drink it in the morning. I'd drink it with dinner sometimes, and I would drink it at night. But my go-to snack every single night, and I was very I was weird about it, but I would get the Chips Ahoy, hard Chips Ahoy cookies that come in the blue pack. Would get those, and I'd eat six of them. And but I had a routine every night. This is right before bed. I would get my six cookies. Like look at a pack. I don't know what they are off the top of my head, but look at a pack of those cookies. The servings are maybe two cookies. So I was eating three servings, probably 700 calories with all kinds of sugar. But I was eating that with a giant, like not a cup of milk, a like a Tervis tumbler, 32-ounce thing of milk every night, whole milk. So I was loading up with over 1,000 calories every single night of my life, on top of the sodas and all this stuff, and was doing it for years. So I cut that out. Actually, I cut out all milk. I stopped drinking milk back then immediately. I haven't drank milk since. The I have one or two times throughout the year I drink milk. One is my vacation to Outer Banks every year. I'm splurging. I'm gonna enjoy some milk because I still love it. So we get a big gallon of milk and I'm gonna drink it at nighttime and most time I get some cookies to go with it. So that's one time. And then Christmas Eve, when we're doing the Santa thing, I get excited about cookies and milk. So those are my two times that I drink milk. So let's run through that again. I cut out nearly 1,000 calories every night, by cutting out the milk and cookies. This is every day. I cut out that. I cut out another, call it probably 300 to 400 calories throughout the day of just drinking milk, in the morning and throughout the day. So now we're up at like 1,300 calories. I cut out the cream and sugar, not a lot of calories, but let's call that a couple hundred, 200, because I did put a lot of cream and sugar in my, I put milk and sugar in my milk or coffee. Cut that out. I cut out a soda a day. I don't know what that is, but call that 250 calories. And I cut down my breakfasts were probably 500 to 700 calories, and I cut that down in half basically with the, when I made that change. So effectively, I cut out at that moment, and I've stuck to it ever since. I haven't changed since, but I cut out roughly call it 1,500 to 2,000 calories a day out of my diet. Now that's a lot of calories, but that just shows you how much I was eating because I was eating a big dinner every night and stuff like that. So I'm taking a long time to kind of where I was to kind of set up where I've gotten. But the reason I say all that, these were right away, immediately. I mean, within weeks, I was shedding weight, and I got, I mean, I don't know how long it took me, but it couldn't have been, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. I was almost 200 down back to 165, 170, just cutting those things out. Granted, I wasn't exercising. I might have ramped up my steps a little bit, but I wasn't hitting the gym yet. The levers I pulled were all around diet. And I still wasn't eating great as far as like outside of the things I cut out, I was not eating very healthy, but I dialed the calorie intake in. Anybody on this planet can do that right now. That's something you can assess your diet, be honest with yourself, and really look at what you're intaking every single day. Now, some days, like if you're eating like I was, it's hard to map out and say like, oh, this is my average day of eating because I'm all over the place. Some day I might be traveling, eat a big lunch. Some days I'm so busy I don't eat lunch. It was all over the place. But I can look at kind of what a standard day looked like. It was going to be an unhealthy big breakfast with milk. It was going to be coffee with cream and sugar. It was going to be a lunch on the go that usually had a soda or a sweet tea or something like that. It was going to be snacks throughout the day as I wanted them and not healthy ones, potato chips, Reese cups, stuff like that. And it was going to be a big dinner followed by that nightly snack I had. So I was able to look at all that and say, okay, here are the three or four things that I can cut out of that are instantly going to impact my weight. That was the big thing. I need to get the weight under control. From there, I kind of started seeing the results and I liked it, right? I liked the way I felt. I was doing what I wanted to do. And this is over a course of a decent period of time, right, for me to kind of rein these things in. But then I started realizing like, okay, yeah, I'm back down to, you know, in the mirror, I look decent. I'm not heavy anymore. I've lost the weight. I couldn't go run a mile right now. I couldn't go. You put me on a flat bench, I'm going to wear out pretty quickly. I'm not going to be able to lift any weights, not going to be able to squat any weight, anything like that. Because I hadn't done it since college at this point. So now we're probably like in my mid 30s, almost 15 years removed from the last time I touched the weight, like seriously touched the weight or run or done anything like that. So time to ramp that up. So I dive all in. And I think I believe it was P90X. I bought that program and I went to town. Like I was doing everything on it and did it for a while. And then you start. You know, I wasn't losing any more weight and I didn't want to, but I started seeing my body take a different shape. I was feeling good about that. And then I started doing different kind of workout programs. And now we're getting into like after JJ is born, 2016, 17, I was dialing it in. Right. And I've been, you know, for the most part, pretty dialed in since then. I've had periods where I just kind of let everything go and have to get it dialed back in, but I haven't had a period like that since COVID hit. And I'm going to go there next. So COVID was like the final thing that I needed. Now, granted, nobody needed COVID. Nobody wanted COVID to happen. But from a mental standpoint, once COVID hit March of 2020, I'd been working out. I was in pretty good shape. I felt really good. But I knew what was going to happen. And my wife and I talked about it, you know, right away. Things are shutting down. So we're in March. She's a teacher. Kids going to school. They can't do that anymore. They're going to be at home every day. I was used to being on the road and just all around. Nope. All of our offices are shut down. I'm working from home every day. We're going to be home a lot. We're not going out. We're not going to be as active. And that's a problem or a potential problem. So we both committed, like, you know, this could go one of two ways. We could settle into this like a lot of people did and we're doing. We could settle into this. And, you know, when you're at home all day, every day, you want to eat. There's snacks and stuff like that. So we could either do that, just kind of lay around, watch movies, catch up on all the Tiger King and all the other things that were coming out at that time. Or we could realize that that's a trap. We're not going to fall into it. And we're going to get serious, even more serious than what we were. We're going to get disciplined. So she and I started waking up at like 5:30 every morning, going up to our room above our garage. And we were doing different workouts, but we would work out every morning, right? Just different workouts, but just enough to like get a good sweat going every single morning. And we did that for months on end throughout COVID. And during the week, we're disciplined with it. Both of us stayed healthy. We were eating healthy, tracking our food, tracking macros, and really have never looked back, right? And that, the feeling I got, the feeling of energy, the positive vibes I felt, the motivation I felt every time I would complete a workout, I'd feel good. I've accomplished something with my day. Now let's go. That's the hardest thing I'm going to face all day. Let's go. And that got, that took like, up to that point in the 5 years prior where I'd kind of been building to this, I'd been running on strictly motivation, right? That motivation being, I don't want to do it, but I'm motivated. I'm fired up because I like the way I feel. I like the way I look. I like the way that I'm probably extending my life in some degree, unless I, get hit by a bus or something like that. But I was motivated for those reasons. Now, at the point COVID hit and we started doing this on a day, now it was becoming habit. Like, this wasn't negotiable. This was, motivation was long gone at this point. It was discipline and habit. I identified as a person, which I hate saying it that way, but I identified as a fit person, a healthy person that looks out for my body, looks out for my health, and looks out for my well-being for those that love me, right? My kids, my why, all that. So that was all it was. There, I wasn't motivated a lot of days. All that had kind of faded, like a lot of motivation does. I now had habits that were formed around how I eat and how I exercise that were not going to go away. They were not, and they have not. We're 5 years after COVID, and I'm still rolling strong. Now, I go through periods where I might, it's usually around a vacation, like we'll go on vacation. The old me has not changed. Like, he's still there. The 25-year-old that could order a large pepperoni pizza and eat the entire thing by himself, he's still in there. The 30-year-old that would drink a 12-pack of beer on a Saturday and watch ball games and not do anything active, he's still there, right? Those things are still in me, right? So I've got to, without habits and discipline, it's very easy when the motivation phase fades, it's very easy to fall back into to him, right? And occasionally I do. Occasionally I do. I, like I mentioned earlier, I'll go on vacation and all things are out the window. Yes, I work out every day on vacation. I probably work out harder on vacation than I do. I go for a run most mornings, but I probably work out harder knowing that I'm going to eat three times as much as I do in a typical day at home. But, and sometimes around vacation, I will, like, it's tough to get dialed back in afterwards, right? You go on vacation, the week leading up to vacation, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to be eating like crap next week, so might as well start the party now. The week you get back, you're playing catch up, trying to get settled back in. So a lot of times I'll lose 2 or 3 weeks of bad eating to a vacation. But I don't feel guilty about it because I know now how to get it back in. I know my habits and what they are. So I've taken almost 30 minutes kind of talking about like where I was and where I got to with my mindset around this. And the mindset goes back to it, right? I love all the fringe benefits of being healthy, right? I love feeling good, right? I love feeling fit and capable of doing whatever anybody throws in front of me for the most part. I'm never gonna be an exceptional athlete. But I can hang with most people on most workouts, right? I'm never gonna win a strongman contest, but I'm pretty strong because I work at it. I'm never gonna win a foot race against even not even an Olympic runner, most high school runners. I've never been fast, right? So none of that's gonna happen, but I can run for a decent amount of time and I have good endurance and things like that. That's great. Those are all things, fringe benefits of what I'm doing, but all of that makes me or gives me a better chance at living longer for my kids, for my future grandkids, for my wife, for the folks that want and need me to be around for a long time. And not just live longer. Hell, I could have kept on the same path that I was. And with modern medicine, I could have got diabetes, had blood pressure issues, heart issues, all cholesterol, all this stuff. Modern medicine would have taken care of that, and I could have gone fat and happy into my 80s probably, right? But I wouldn't have been vibrant. I wouldn't have been physically capable of doing anything with my children or grandchildren, which I think about a lot. And hell, who knows? I might not have grandchildren, but if I do, I want to be, again, I've talked about it on the show before, Katie, my wife, her grandfather. 95, 96 years old, I think. Up until 5 years ago, I'd stack him up against any 40, 50-year-old man as being one of the healthiest people I know, all the way up to his 90s, well into his 80s. He was very healthy, played tennis all the time, stayed active. But what all, he also did by being that way, because those are all the fringe benefits, he was always physically capable of playing with his, not just his kids, not just his grandkids, but his great-grandkids, which are my kids. 90 years old, he's rolling around on the floor with JJ, throwing him up, wrestling with him, all those things. I want to be that, right? So that's the main, that is the North Star constantly with this. So what, if you're listening to this, some of you're listening and, you might have your own routines and your own habits and you're dialed in, and that's great, right? But you may not. You may be where I was. You may be going to your job every day, really not paying attention what you're eating and drinking. A lot of like just hidden calories and everything. Hell, you might be eating a salad trying to be healthy, but loading three packs of ranch dressing on it, which kind of washes out everything because it's so high in calorie, high in sugar, all those things. But wherever you're at, I would say number one, take an assessment of what that looks like and start with your food. Let's work on I'll talk about the movement piece of it and the fitness piece of it later. But let's just talk about food intake. Look at like be honest with yourself and look at what you consume on a daily basis. I would highly encourage you to download MyFitnessPal or some type of similar calorie tracker. Where you can log your food and do that for a week and be honest with yourself. Log everything. Really important, log all your sauces. So if you're dipping something in ketchup, log the ketchup. If you're using olive oil, or any type of oil on your food, log that because that has calories. These apps, especially I use MyFitnessPal, but these apps are super accurate. They account for anything you put in your mouth, and they're going to be accurate with the macros and the calories. But just start with calories. Track it, be honest with yourself, and see what your average calories are every day. Now, and I bet if you've never done this, you'll probably be a little surprised at what it is. You'll probably be surprised at a couple things. How many calories you're taking in every day, how little protein you're getting every day, how many carbs and fats you're getting every day, and how imbalanced that micro or the macros are that you're taking in. So start there. And then once you assess it for a week, look at it and say, all right, what are some daily things I'm doing that could knock that down by 20%? So let's say you track it for a week and you're taking in 3,000 calories. For an average, let's talk somebody my size, 5'9", 5'10", just an average man, 100 and whatever weight you are. But your maintenance calories every day should probably be around 2,100 calories, 2,000 calories. Just depends on how active you are. I would bet most people that have never tracked this and never really paid attention to it are taking in 3,000 plus calories. So then you look at that and look at what the itemized list is of what you're eating and find what you can eliminate to reduce it by 20%, 30%. And you're going to find a lot of stuff in there, a lot of stuff that you don't need. You don't even know it's there. You're not even thinking about it. Or instead of eliminating it, find a healthier option. So if you don't like black coffee and you just load it up with sugar and milk every day, well, go in and try to find a replacement. There's plenty of stuff out there. There's plenty of better, lower calorie sweeteners. There are plenty of substitutes for milk that very low calorie and healthier for you overall from a calorie standpoint. That just substitute it, see if you can find that. If you're drinking a Pepsi every day, start if you can't eliminate it completely, try to find a diet Pepsi or a Coke Zero or something like that, just something else to replace it with, so you can ultimately get to a place where you can just eliminate it all. But find holes or opportunities in your daily diet that you can fill with other things or eliminate altogether and reduce the calories. Once you get that going, then I would encourage you the easiest way to do it, like if you're not going to the gym right now and you're not really doing anything with a plan around fitness, Everybody has a phone or an iWatch or something that tracks their steps, right? You don't have to, this isn't like a $700 device you got to buy to track steps. There are plenty free or very cheap devices you can buy to track steps. Don't change anything and just start tracking your steps. And what you're going to find is you might think, because you parked in the furthest spot away from Kroger today that, oh, you got your steps up. What you're going to find is you probably average around 5,000 steps a day. The average office worker that's working in an office setting, going to work, driving there and back, sitting at their desk there all day, moving a little bit in the evenings with their family, is averaging about 5,000 steps. So if that is true, whether it's 4,000, 6,000, 7,000, try to ramp up your steps to be a minimum of 8,000 a day. So make like 8,000, if you're at 4,000 or 5,000, make 8,000 your bare minimum. I'm gonna hit this no matter what. And if I'm not there at 10 o'clock at night, I'm gonna walk around my living room till I get to 8,000 steps. Add that in. You'd be shocked at what that does for your calorie burn. So you're managing your calorie intake by eliminating a few things. Now you're burning more calories to get your body moving. You're going to feel better. If you're already at 8,000, ramp it up to 10. If you're at 10, great job. You don't really need to do anything. If you really want to take it to the next level, try to get 15,000, find ways to get in more movement and steps in your day. Start there. Then from there, you can evolve it. As you start to see, your weight reduce and you're feeling better, now find 30 minutes a day, keep the steps intact, but now find 30 minutes a day that you can at least get your body moving a little bit more. If you have a local gym you can join, great. Go join it, get on some machines or get with one of the trainers there to help you build out a workout routine. Go to ChatGPT if you don't want to work with a trainer. Tell them what weight you are, what your goals are, and in literally 30 seconds, you'll have a full week's worth of workout routine. But find something. Go walk on a treadmill. Go ride a bike. Get a Peloton. If you don't have a gym or don't want to go to a gym, you're not comfortable working out in front of people, get some stuff at your house. All you need is carpet or like a yoga mat, a fitness mat, and a couple dumbbells and YouTube. That's what I did during COVID. I had YouTube on every single morning and I was doing these HIIT workouts, high intensity interval training, no equipment. Did it every single morning, would sweat my butt off to start my day. Now I've evolved to a little bit of that, but now I weightlift and do other things as well. But find something you can do that doesn't take a ton of effort. Use your motivation to get you going and then use that motivation to keep it going until it becomes a habit. And now you don't need the motivation. It's what you are, it's who you are, it's what you do. So assess what you're eating and you're putting in your body. Look at drinks, look at food, sauces, everything. Eliminate what you can. Look at how much you're moving throughout the day and try to add more steps in and then evolve that into some type of fitness plan. The third component, so you got the eating, try to dial that in. You got the fitness, try to dial that in. This is the third, and then for me was the most important, right? So it's easy to be motivated to be here for a while for my kids. That's not hard for me. I can ride that motivation for a while, but for me, I've got to have some layers of accountability, and I'm pretty good at self-accountability. Checking myself, being honest with myself, making adjustments as needed. But I've spoken on this plenty of times before when it comes to business, personal, fitness, all those things. The number one motivator for me is I don't like letting people down. So the way I kind of gain that is I create these accountability groups, these accountability challenges and stuff like that with other people that have similar goals as me, and we hold each other accountable to it. And by doing that, what did I say my number one motivator is? I don't want to let people down. Well, if I'm in a challenge with somebody, and if I don't hold up to, or not even a challenge, like it's, hey man, let's do 30 workouts this month. And let's say that's a challenge. So a workout every day. Then if I don't complete that and I'm telling somebody that I'm gonna do it with them, then I have failed them. I will never fail anybody, not intentionally, right? I'm not going to make a decision to say, I just don't feel like doing this anymore once I've committed to some type of challenge or accountability thing. So that would be my, that's like expert level, not expert really, I'm joking, but that is like next level of holding you to what you're eating, what you're doing, your activities is find a partner. So like on MyFitnessPal, you can create groups and share what you eat every day and log with other people. Now you got to be honest and you want to be with people that are being honest with you, but that's a layer of accountability. From the fitness standpoint, what I do, Bill Phillips and I, and Tim Blodgett, we have a workout streak. We have to work out every day. Every single day, I've got over 3 years of text messages where Bill and I have texted each other our workout every day. Now, some we have parameters around that, and there's rest days that we're allowed to do certain things that are considered a workout, like a a 2 mile walk, or like if I play a round of golf, that's a workout, right? Doesn't feel like a workout, but it is definitely a workout. So there's things that we've kind of put boundaries around it, but do that with somebody you want to be, accountable to, and you want them to hold you accountable, and you hold them accountable, and y'all both end up better for it. So figure out what's obsessive and or like what you can obsess about in your diet and take out and eliminate. Figure out a way to get yourself moving, and all around both of those things, figure out an accountability measure that you can put in to hold you, hold your feet to the fire, and so that you don't disappoint somebody by not doing what you commit to. So the topic of this is health and nutrition, right? And what does it mean to me? Why is it so important? What my mentality is around it? I've shared all of that. And what I ultimately would love to happen from this podcast, and, I don't know how many people will listen, don't know how many people are still listening because it's gone on kind of long, but I would love to hear anybody that hears this reach out to me. If you want me to help hold you accountable to something, or you want to make some change, you don't have to be where I'm at, right? I've got some accountability partners that are way more advanced than me when it comes to certain workouts, and they're way more fit than me, but they're still my accountability partner. So if I can be that to you, or you just want to share with me, like let's say you track your food for a week, share with me what you found and what you're going to change, or you want to start tracking your steps and stuff like that, and you want me to hold you accountable to it, reach out, find me. And I would love to do that. I love nothing more than that. So again, this has gone on long enough. These are my thoughts and kind of how I've burned the ships on my old habits, and I've created new ones that hopefully will lead not necessarily a longer life, because I feel like, barring an accident or a disease, I may live for a good while. But I want that quality of life to be as top-notch as it can be. And these are the things I'm doing to try to assure that. Again, I got to caveat it with, I'm not perfect. I try to be 80% good. That's my goal. 8 out of 10 days, and that is not that exact, but 80% of the time, I'm going to make the right choices. I'm not going to pull into McDonald's. I'm not going to eat that large pizza. I'm not going to drink the 12 beers. But 20% of the time, I feel like if I'm doing that, those things that kind of break my habits and routines only 20% of the time, it's going to be little to no impact on me. So I kind of operate out of that 80-20 mindset. I even track it. I have apps that I use and stuff like that, but that's how I do it. So hopefully this helps somebody out there. As always, I thank you for hanging in there and hearing me ramble about these topics. My favorite episodes are the ones where I sit down and interview people and let them do all the talking, but we try to put this out, or we have put this out once a week, in hopes that some idea I share or some topic I discuss has a positive impact on somebody, and I hope that is the case with this one. So with that, I'll wrap up another episode of Burning the Ships Weekly Ramble. Talk to you guys soon. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burning the Ships. I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, 608B Capital, helping real estate investors secure fast, reliable funding to fuel their boldest moves. If you're ready to take your investing to the next level, visit 608bcapital.com to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your feedback not only helps us improve, but it also helps us reach more people who are ready to burn the ships and commit fully to their goals. And don't forget to share the episode
with someone who needs that extra push to take bold action. I'll leave you with this. Burning the ships isn't just about removing the option to retreat. It's about unlocking the courage to charge forward. No matter the odds, the past is behind you and the future is yours to conquer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Burning the Ships.